Coming up on podcast 1515, a special edition podcast, we look at the all-new Ioniq 6 from Hyundai. Stick around, I'll tell you what I know. On the show today, we have a look at the exterior and interior styling and why it's been divisive for some, the tech specs, when you can get it, and what it might cost. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. It's EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. Today, Thursday, 30th of June. First of two podcasts today, because this isn't your regular news episode, but rather, yesterday, the embargo lifted, or rather very late the previous night, the embargo lifted, of the all-new Hyundai Ioniq 6, following up their first new car in the Ioniq range with a very different car based on the Prophecy concept. And I'm so excited about this vehicle, I didn't want to just wrap it up into one of the regular podcast episodes. So if it's okay with you, a podcast special edition might just be 10-12 minutes as we talk you through all the various things. And if you're not interested, you can always hit stop, delete, move forward onto the news if that's what you are here for. Otherwise, stick around. Right, this is a really important vehicle for Hyundai because they have got off to a flyer with their dedicated EV program. Not to say their previous EVs based on compromised platforms weren't great. Look, the original Ioniq, the original one with a 28 kilowatt hour battery that charged really fast, was loaded with tech. The ADAS was really good on that. And that's like 4 or 5 years ago now. We look going back, okay, so it didn't have the biggest screen or the best technology, but that, the Kona, look at the Niro from the same parent company, all great efficient electric vehicles, and then they come with a dedicated platform, EGMP platform, Hyundai Ioniq 5, Kia EV6, Genesis GV60 and more, and now the Hyundai Ioniq 6. We'll start with the press release that I got sent from Hyundai because they're kind of a parody of themselves now, and maybe it's a little bit lost in translation from Korean to English, but look, all car maker press releases are this brilliant. I shall read this to you. Hyundai's new entry into its Ioniq dedicated BEV lineup brand realizes streamlined aesthetics and functional efficiency under the design theme of ethical uniqueness. Cocoon-like cabin with comfort features and customizable lighting offers personalized and spacious interior space. Single curved aerodynamic profile and carefully crafted contours create Hyundai's lowest drag coefficient, 0.21. Inspired by the Prophecy EV concept, Ioniq 6 is characterized by clean, simple lines and pure aerodynamic form that Hyundai designers describe as emotional efficiency. Electrified streamliner typology and mindful cocoon-like interior embody a silhouette for the new era of electric mobility, while the overall design theme of ethical uniqueness reflects Hyundai's customer-centric commitment to energy efficiency and environmental responsibility. We need to decode that a little bit because this is a great car. And let's dig into the specs a little bit on that. So I can see what they're trying to do with this, which is to be aware, corporate aware, of building cars is not particularly environmentally friendly. And they're pointing out a lot here how they have used recycled materials, reusable materials where possible, how they've tried to make the car more than simply something that gets you from A to B, but something that helps you live a better life, a more mindful life, if you like, this cocoon thing they're trying to communicate. All right, it's a bit flowery language, but we'll get onto the important stuff now. Very, very low drag efficient, because if you can imagine, if you can picture the Prophecy concept, and if you didn't see it, somebody described it as like the Apple Magic Mouse, or just picture a computer mouse, right? Or a banana, an upside down banana. You know, it's that constant curve from the beginning to the end. And that has its challenges because that works at the front. It makes it very slippery. At the back, because it's almost that bendy shape, there are some issues at the back, which I understand on this car. At the front, very low nose, active air flaps. So underneath the grille, of which there isn't one, you've got the active air because the, you know, batteries don't need to combust oxygen. You haven't got to burn anything, but they do need a bit cooling sometimes. There's also wheel gap reducers and digital side mirrors, all about aiding this car being very, very slippery. It has its elliptical wing-inspired spoiler, they say, with its winglet and a boat tail structure. That rear end with its two spoilers is perhaps where some would have an issue. And I do understand that. The EGMP platform allows loads of room inside. Now, the wheelbase of the Arniq 5 is 3 meters, and this is ever so slightly shorter. I'm surprised they didn't use to try and have some commonality of parts, the same wheelbase. But this car looks more like a Kia EV6 than it does the previous Hyundai Arniq 5, which was blocky, and this is swoopy. But the point of the platform is that you have loads and loads of room inside. If you've seen inside the Ioniq 5, you know it's got that center armrest, that center console that moves forwards and backwards, a flat floor, a very much a feeling of openness in that. The same modular touchscreens with the two 12-inch displays. And so you've got the touchscreen infotainment, you've got the 12-inch digital cluster behind the two-spoke steering wheel that looks really very cool. But in this, it's got a center console. If I describe it as a bridge console, does that make sense? As in, on top of it, where you'd rest your hand, that you've got somewhere for your cup holders, but then you've got the space underneath, and a big space underneath as well. So, not going for that big open feeling, it does separate driver and passenger with a center console, but loads of space underneath as well. The press release also says, and I think this one hasn't made the translation very well, the removal of buttons from the front doors provides more breathing room. You know, I was never in a car. Man, I feel so claustrophobic. I can't breathe because of the buttons on this door. I think we know what they mean. Anyway, I want to recommend some of the great writing that's been done about this and some of the great videos that I've seen and been shot so far. CNET point out that while the Arniq 6's distinctive styling is divisive, it stands apart from the Arniq 5 and it stands apart from the crowd. If the Arniq 5 was 1980s hatchback concept, sort of 8-bit, 16-bit styling, this is what they call a whack 90s show car made real. Yes, nice one, CNET. I like that. Drag coefficient, they point out, that matches a Lucid Air, beats a Porsche Taycan and Tesla Model 3. And the arc of the roofline, they say, and side windows makes the Arniq 6's rear end look droopy from some angles. But this writer in CNET, Daniel Golson, says, I'm into the look. It's reminiscent of a Citroën DS or a cool old Tatra or a Porsche 911. But the rear end is where things get weird. A small ducktail spoiler above the pixel tail light bar that spans the width of the back and comes to a point at each edge. And from the side of the car, the side profile, you can see there's a bit of Porsche 911 about it when you, and actually from the rear angle as well. There are some angles this car looks completely stunning. I understand why there are some angles from the rear. It does look a bit droopy. And I understand that. And maybe it just takes a little bit of getting used to, right? Some things do. I've been doing this podcast for 4.5 years. I'm sure there are still some people that are not quite sure on me. It's fine. Like the Arniq 5, the steering wheel has 4 square dots in the place of the Hyundai logo, Morse code for H, says CNET. But on the Arniq 6, they light up different colours. So maybe when you're charging the car, you could see state of charge. Okay, not particularly detailed. It's only those LEDs on the steering wheel. But it'll give you an indication of whether the battery's empty or full. If you're coming up to a fast charger and you think, oh, you know, is someone going to leave soon? At least you can get an idea of the state of charge of the vehicle. Autoblog points out that the interior carries more over than the exterior. So the Arniq 6 interior with the two 12-inch screens, similar dashboard, switch gears all the same, the stalks, the steering wheel design, but with different lighting features. It's got uplit door bins, which are really interesting. That floating console is gone, and now it's got that bridge tunnel. No word, points out Autoblog, on the powertrain. But I would add that we know that the platform is EGMP. It's going to be Hyundai Arniq 5, Kia EV6, Genesis GV60, 800-volt system. It's going to have vehicle to load. It's probably going to have the two battery sizes. We'll get onto that in a minute. Pricing remains a mystery, says Autoblog, but the upgrade interior suggests it may be more expensive than the Arniq 5. And I'd agree with that, actually. You know what? If this car was badged a Genesis, that would make sense. Does that make sense to you? The Genesis GV60 is that take on the other cars we've mentioned. And looking at the interior of this, I could see how Hyundai owning the Genesis brand could easily, this could easily be a Genesis car. Blimey, I've done over 10 minutes already and we're not even halfway through what I want to talk about. Tech specs coming soon. We'll have a look at what could be under the skin in terms of batteries and motors and why. And we'll finish off with a conclusion why Hyundai could be onto a real winner with this concept of having all of their EVs be an entirely different concept, but having a common language running through them. Why does everything have to be the same, but slightly bigger or smaller? Stick around and we'll talk more about the Arniq 6 next. Motor Trend have written a brilliant piece on this. I wish I could write as good as this. They point out, thanks to well-built, well-equipped and well-priced models like the Arniq 5, Kona Electric, Kia EV6, Niro EV, Hyundai Motor Group actually snared the number two spot in the US in the EV market this year. They're beating Ford, Nissan and Volkswagen. They have a lot of models on sale and no, they're nowhere near Tesla, but they have had an amazing start to the year. Now, the Arniq 6 is somewhere between in terms of wheelbase, Arniq 5 and Kia EV6. Now, the original plan, according to Motor Trend, was for this vehicle to share the same wheelbase is the EV6. I didn't know that. Well, isn't that interesting? Even though this is a Hyundai, I mean, it's all the same company, isn't it, Kia? But Hyundai's styling lead, Simon Losby, says that the designers fought hard for the extra room to improve the interior proportions. And having watched the Johnny Smith video last night, he is a tall fella. And he sits in the front, sets the seat and the pedals for him, and then he sits behind himself, and he's got a ton of knee room. So, a Hyundai looking at the Chinese market where being driven is perhaps a little more popular, where the rear experience is more important, maybe they're looking at ride hailing and just the amount of vehicles that are going to have people in the back being driven places. The rear is absolutely huge. It's 5 inches shorter overall than a Honda Accord, for instance, but loads of room inside because it's a custom-designed EV platform. That's really important. One of the original names for the Arniq 6 was Streamliner. Hyundai's head of global design, Sang-Yup Lee, told Motor Trend. He said, and I quote, "It's a simple, reductive design. It's pure volume, a proportion you can't do with the internal combustion engine vehicle." And that's really interesting because there are so many car makers going for the compromise platform to get them through this decade when they'll transition to pure EV. If you look at BMW, for instance. And that's really interesting because if you look at the early days of Kia and Hyundai, they were using compromise platforms, and they still are with the Niro and the Kona. And if you look at BMW now, they're using some compromise platforms and some pure EV platforms like the iX, which sits on its own dedicated one, for instance. But that's a really good point. When you haven't got to have a massive bonnet because you might put an engine under it or it might have batteries, then you can have a short, stubby front and you can have loads of passenger room inside. They tried everything, to get rid of the shark fin antenna on the roof, but they couldn't for technical reasons. And so, rather than just have it sitting there, they made it interesting. The shark fin antenna is made from a translucent material. And if you can see through it, you can see the innards of what's happening in there. And that happens in many places in this car. The door bins are made of this translucent, I'm going to say plastic, but this half see-through material. So you can actually see what's in the door bins without looking in the top of them. The Arniq 6's interior, says Motor Trend, makes the ID4 look cheap and Tesla look Spartan. Well, I mean, you don't need to do a lot to make the Tesla look Spartan. You like it or you don't like it. But I certainly know what they mean. The ID4 does look more utilitarian than this. This looks like a lot of luxury, and it depends where the price comes in on this, which, of course, we don't know. 12 exterior paint colours on the Arniq 6, gold and green matte finishes that use bamboo charcoal pigments, either 18 or 20-inch wheels, and we don't know pricing, but according to Motor Trend, Hyundai say the Arniq 6 will be priced under the standard range Model 3 when it goes on sale next year in the US. And so again, we don't know, but we're thinking that would be the entry spec. So maybe a small battery, definitely rear-wheel drive. Now, I'll finish off with Jason Barlow, who writes for Top Gear. Just a brilliant article. I'll pop a link in the show notes. Highly recommend. It's a really enjoyable sort of five-minute sit-down and sift through these articles if you want to find out more. He points out that Hyundai's design department might just have dropped the ball for the first time in years. To put it kindly, the Arnik 6 is challenging, he says, but do some internet cross-referencing to assimilate what you are looking at. Whether it's the Arnik 5, which channels that kind of 8-bit, 16-bit blockiness, he says, here we go back to the 20s and 30s, a creative time for automotive design, because it's all about that kind of Art Deco influence of aerodynamics, aviation-inspired, swoopy shapes, slightly bonkers shapes at times. Now, the South Korean culture is cool, he points out, with unassailable emissaries in the form of Netflix's Squid Game and director Bong Joon-ho's Oscar-snaffling film Parasite. And that's actually a really interesting point as well, which I hadn't considered till I read the Top Gear piece, which is actually these South Korean cars are cool. Johnny Smith points it out in his video. Hyundai and Kia, not so long ago, were cars that you bought because they were in your price range and they got you from A to B. Now, we would love to own an Arnik 5, but we can't afford it. Now, that is an expensive vehicle to go out and buy outright from the showroom, but that just goes to show how they've moved upmarket. But to also be much more of a car that you aspire to be in one day. Now, in terms of that rear end, that streamlined shape, they have gone for the bendy shape, and that can lead to a droopy rear end. Top Gear says, remember how Audi's original TT suddenly gained a spoiler for its rump when the cars began falling off the autobahns? Yes, I do remember that. I used to own a 2000 plate Audi TT, the small one, the 180 brake horse one. That had the spoiler on already. Goodness, was that 22 years ago? Oh, goodness, I feel old now. I loved my Audi TT, by the way. But yes, I do remember when they didn't have a spoiler because they were swoopy. But then they needed one at high speed. He says, there's a reason why the Arnik 6's posterior has two separate visual interruptions, but it still manages an outstanding drag coefficient. Those two spoilers, I think, might be an acquired taste. When you see this, I want to know your thoughts. Email me hello@evnewsdaily.com. I'm still not sure, but hey, Hyundai won't lose any sleep about my opinion. I don't know if I'd spend my own money on this, but it's always different when you see pictures to videos to being in person. Now, let's talk about specs to finish off. 400 or 800 volt charging, of course, it's an 800 volt architecture. Well, it lives most of the time well under 800, but they call it the 800 volt architecture. Vehicle to load, of course, so it'll probably pull about 3 kilowatts, the same as its sister cars. Standard range would be 58 kilowatt hour pack. I don't know if they will go standard range with this in some markets or whether they'll offer it simply as the 77.4 kilowatt hour battery pack. Not sure whether this kind of premium vehicle is going to have too many people saying, well, I want the car, but I want a tiddly battery pack. I think they'll probably want the big battery for the odd occasion they do a road trip, but let's face it, no one needs a massive battery pack unless you're doing some serious miles, if you've got good charging where you live. But one thing is for sure, this car is so swoopy, so much more aerodynamic than the Arnik 5 and the Kia EV6, that's the 300 plus miles on the big battery easily attainable. If we see a 330, 335 number on WLTP, I wouldn't be surprised, depending on what they've done with technology in terms of the, you know, the battery pack. So that's our first look at the Hyundai Arnik 6. I'm really impressed with this vehicle, and I'm really impressed with Hyundai and where they're going. And although I don't know where the video was shot, I don't do a lot of videos for this channel. I keep being told I need to do more on YouTube by lots of people, but I like doing these podcasts and talking to you like this. That Johnny Smith mentioned where they invited to go and make the video was somewhere achingly cool that was actually a bit rubbish a few years ago in London. So I don't know what that is, but having worked in Soho for 10 years, I'm guessing it's a Dalston or a Hoxton or a Shoreditch where they decided to have this event. You know, lots of the cool kids where I worked, when they found out that the old man manager lived in Southwest, where I, you know, I was like, where do you guys live? They're like, oh, I'm in Dalston. I'm like, all right, I'm in Richmond. And they're like, does anybody even go to Southwest London? It wasn't cool where I lived. It was full of people like me. But those achingly arty, young, graduate, cool people I work with, I imagine it was in one of those places. And that kind of sums up this car
and Hyundai and where they are at the minute. And I think you have to really respect them for it, because they could have easily done a slightly bigger version or a slightly different version of the IONIQ 5, which is a stunning car in itself. Now, they have likened it to chess pieces, that the family of IONIQ cars are all going to be different. They've said this for years. So I read this a long time ago, even before the 5 was out. They said, by the way, all of our cars are going to look different. Like, that you're going to be blown away. Because the Concept 45 car that the 5 is modelled on, that was wild. And the Prophecy concept that this is modelled on was wild, had no steering wheel. But they said, look, all the cars will look different. Why does it need to be of a common design language? And, you know, I'm not sure that would go down well at your Audis and VWs of the world. But I think it's working well for Hyundai as they reinvent themselves and use the move to electrification as a full stop on the old era. And they're writing the rules for the new era. And if they keep selling like they are doing around the world, particularly in the US, number two position right now, I think they're going to have many, many fans. Let me know what you think about this vehicle if you've seen it. Go and check out the videos or have a look at the pickies and then email me and give me your thoughts. Hello@evnewsdaily.com is my email address. Thank you for listening to this special edition of the podcast. Thank you to our premium partners of the show. Couldn't do it without you, supporters on Patreon. That's you, Phil Roberts. He runs Electric Future at ef.energy. If you're interested, Brad Crosby. Thank you, Brad. Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati. Audi of Cincinnati East. Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. emobilitynorway.com. Octopus Electric Juice, making public charging simple with one card, one map and one app. And millbrookcottages.co.uk. 5-star luxury cottages in Devon, because you deserve a trip with your EV on a holiday. Thanks for listening. Oh, this will be 10 or 12 minutes. Yeah, it's 22 minutes. I'm sorry. Have a good and see you later for the new show. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.